You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. So wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get was bittersweet. It's like winning a used me. I'm blinded cause I think I'm getting so huge I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think, cause
I'm friends with the monster.
Good Monday morning to you. Merry Christmas. To those of you who do something else, happy holiday. Marshall Mathers there. The Prince of Anger. Do you want to hear a great... Speaking of his anger... I'll play something I made. Yeah, how about that? I don't even have this as a bumper. It's like ridiculous. How could this be? I'm struggling to. I don't know why. But this music, I don't know if it gets the song in my head. And so I made myself, when I was in Afghanistan, I made myself a little, like, my own little bumper. So this is about 11 minutes and 20 seconds of this. I call it my hate music. I'm not sure why, but it percolates the hate inside of me. And there are days when you have to draw on the hate. I put this on when I got up. Put it on my little... Well, it was my phone in Afghanistan. I'd feel the hate circulating. Just let it flow, just like a nice... I'm not into drugs, so I don't know what it is to be high. But can you be high? You know, if I ask... this is the reason that All Marine Radio is a great program, because you won't hear this discussion a lot of places, right? I'm thinking of my friends sitting around, right? And I'll ask Mike this later, but if I ask them, can you get high on hate? They'd be like, oh, dude, one of the purest, best highs you can ever have. Are you kidding me? And then people would look like, what? What are you idiots talking about? And we just like, yay. Probably not supposed to talk about it, but it is what it is, man. It is what it is, and that is the truth. Yeah. That is the truth. You get straight up high on it. Powerful drug. Hate. And I don't know, for some reason, lose yourself. So this is like about 11 minutes and 20 seconds to this. And then if you put it on like auto-repeat, yeah. And you find yourself just bobbing your head. Mm-hmm. Somebody gonna get it today. Hope it all works out for them. Because it's on. Yeah. Awesome stuff. I've got a shorter 48-second version of it. I should use it. I can't believe I don't have this, like, added to the program, my list of bumper music. Trust me, that just got fixed. The hate. Powerful stuff. Powerful, 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 pure hate. Right? But again, in our tribe, it's all good, man. It is all good. And people will look at you just matter-of-factly and like, hello, of course. What? Why would you ask such a stupid question? All right. Yeah, so everybody knows that it comes from this, right? This is like the story of his life. You can see it in the movie 8 Mile. He's geeky rap, aspiring rap artist who forgets the words to lyrics. Yeah, that's the song. He gets nervous. If you're in the Atlanta airport, what's up? I took my son, -2, to Los Angeles International on Friday night as he started Christmas leave. And, yeah. Did you capture it? It's a great song, and you saw it used a lot. You saw a lot of sports teams use it. You got one shot. Everybody's joking now. The clock's run out. Time's up. Over. Loud. Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes gravity. Choke. He's so mad, but he won't. So I remember seeing, who was it? Ray Lewis. I think at the Super Bowl, the Ravens had this going in the tunnel as they walked down, and he got everybody together. He started rapping the words. And here it is. You get one shot. That's what he was saying. One shot. So, anyway, Eminem. Marshall Mathers. Same initials as me. Same initials as Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mantle. Yeah. Greatness in those initials. The double M's. Plus, we have our own candy. Boom. Deal with it. Yeah, so I take Patrick to LAX on Friday. And, and normally it'd be 45 minutes to an hour, depending if there's any crazy traffic on the way to LAX. So, and there's always that possibility. So, we get to LAX get off the freeway, and it's probably 8:15. It took us another 35 minutes to get to the terminal. And I don't know if it's because school let out and everybody was flying out or whatnot, but, man, it was gigantor. Yeah, gigantor. It's amazing, this whole sexual harassment thing. AP's reporting a judge, an appeals court, federal appeals court judge, resigned this morning. For? That's right, sexual harassment. The owner of the Carolina Panthers announced late yesterday afternoon that he would sell his football team after an internal investigation into complaints of sexual harassment. How about that? That's a big deal. That's a billion-dollar franchise right there. Or something like that. Tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to call Alex Hollings here. You know him as a writer for Software, not a writer, but he's a contributing editor for Software Up. So we'll talk to Alex this morning. We'll catch up a little bit with him. We'll catch up a little bit with Alex as we go ahead and get the morning going. Contributing editor for Software Up, as I just said, he also will go ahead and update us. He and his wife had a baby, so that'll be fun to listen to. That's always a crazy story. So, Alex Hollings. So, we'll listen to Alex, and we'll talk. I want to get his take. Alex, smart guy, studies DOD, his take on the whole transgender thing. So, you know, let me just tell you, I'll speak for myself personally. I didn't really understand the issue completely. I'll say that up front. I think that from the point of view that if you categorize transgender as only the segment of the of people that are seeking sexual reassignment surgery and hormone replacement therapy and all that, if they want to go that route, then I think the logical syllogism is valid in that they have to be a widget. And to the extent that you can't be a widget, which is confirmed in a couple of reports from countries that don't do nearly what we do. I mean, who deploys like we deploy? Answer, nobody. So, I mean, it's tough to take Canada's experience or the UK's experience because they don't deploy like we do. Great Britain comes close. But, you know, not with the frequency, not with the duration. So, anyway, it's tough to translate all that. But even they will admit to you that there are great challenges associated with expeditionary deployments with transgender people that are assigned to combat units. Not easy to do. So, we'll talk to Alex about that as well as childbirth and becoming a dad for the first time. See how all that's working for him. And then the gunner will be along today. So, we'll make it official by kicking the day off, and that begins with the United States Marine Corps band playing the national anthem. Not Eminem. Good morning to you. a little motivation, dedicated my grandson, Finn. Not feeling good. Get to see him in a week. Fired up about that.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Check the weather. Currently, cloudy and 41 in Quantico. Cloudy and 56 at Camp Lejeune. Foggy and 47 in Granbury. Heat wave in Montana, 42 degrees right now. Yeah, 42 degrees. What's going to get to you? 60? Sunny and 40 degrees at Camp Pendleton. I'm sorry. At 29 Palms. Desert gets cold, man. Camp Pendleton. Camp Pendleton feels colder when it gets cold. I don't know if it's because of the moisture in the air, but good God. I would tell you, and I lived in North Dakota, okay, so I'm not just like pussy boy whining about it. But I would tell you that I think that like when you get into the low 40s in California, that you, it's similar. I mean, it's cold. And I think, God, like, what is wrong with me, man? I turned into such a wuss. But I don't know. I think if you were, like, standing there with coat equivalent, I'd be curious to be able to walk from room to room and experience those two temperatures with the appropriate humidity or whatever settings. Just a thought. In case you want to organize something, you don't have anything to do with your life. Yeah, so sunny and 36 at Camp Pendleton. Yikes. Okinawa's cloudy, dark, and 62. Marja, cloudy, dark, and 58. Marja warmed up. At the home of Allmarine Radio, it is clear and 46 beautiful degrees on our way to 70. Pretty decent little bump right there during the course of the day. All right, we're going to take a break. And, let me just do some news headlines before we go anywhere and do anything. So we'll start, is customary these days with the Marine Corps Times. Secretary of Defense has warned of Russia's unsafe military flights over Syria. Now, I told you, we do this little dance with them around the world. Okay? And so the question is, what's going on? Why would the Secretary of Defense use his forum to talk about it? So I'm not sure why, obviously, because I'm not there. But it merits just a note. Note that on your planner today. Mattis talks about something that we normally don't talk about. Normally it's just white noise, the Russians being stupid. So to me, normally, to me, if you want an educated guess, it means we're about to smoke one of them. And he's taking the time to warn them. Hey. Hey, you best be careful or you're going to wind up dead. So, anyway. So, it's always a prudent thing to do. Probably the biggest story, and probably the biggest story out of the Department of Defense was the story, I want to say it was reported in the New York Times or by the Associated Press. No, it's by the Associated Press. And that was, there was much speculation about how Army Sergeant LeDavid Johnson died. Was he executed? Was he taken as a hostage? Blah, 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 blah. The Associated Press has, in the midst of all that, evidently confirmed. And the Associated Press, right, they're not let's whip it up kind of media. They tend to be pretty disciplined. But they confirmed and then reported that he was shot as many as 18 times as he took cover in, actually it's not cover, as he tried to conceal himself in thick brush. There's a difference between cover and concealment for everybody. Cover is concrete, stuff that would stop a bullet. Concealment is something that might hide you optically until somebody throws on thermals and says, he's behind a bush. Military investigators had concluded that Johnson was not captured alive or killed at close range, dispelling a swirl of rumors about how he died. The report has determined that Johnson, 25, of Miami Gardens, was killed by enemy rifle and machine gun fire from members of an Islamic State offshoot, according to U.S. officials familiar with the findings. The October 4th ambush took place about 120 miles north of Niamey, N-A-I-M-E-A, the African nation's capital. Johnson's body was recovered 2 days later. U.S. officials familiar with the findings spoke to the Associated Press on the condition of anonymity to describe details of an investigation that has not been finalized or publicly released. So that's that story. You know, and again, to point to the significance of this, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff came out and personally did the press briefing relative to this issue. So, that gives you some sense of what kind of visibility it has in the Pentagon. And also, I would tell you, one of the things he kept saying that day was, hey, I don't know the answers to some of these questions, and we're going to have to, give the investigators time to do their job, and we will get the ground truth. The other thing I will tell you is that the people that did this are going to pay. They're going to be dead. Every one of them is going to be dead or captured and brought to someplace. So we don't suffer this stuff well, and we don't let it go. Now, we don't talk about that, right? Evening scores and things like that, but trust me. There is an all-points bulletin out for the people who did this, and we'll find out. We'll find out who did it, and we will go ahead and we will kill him or capture him if we don't kill him in the process. So, again, when this kind of stuff happens, when we have people killed, I think the bias is go find them and kill them. So, hopefully that happens. Hopefully that happens. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Alex Hollings. And we'll talk to Alex about the whole transgender issue and about becoming a dad. So you know him. He's been on repeatedly talking about DOD issues. A wide variety. So we'll talk to Alex and see what he has going on. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning. Thanks for tuning us in. Don't touch that dial.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255. Press 1.
Oh, did I just lose you? You still there? You're there. I can't hear you anymore, man.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. The theme of the day is anger is a cool emotion too. Don't be afraid of anger. Enjoy it. You're not going to hear that discussion too many places. Yeah, along with the other one. Can you get high on hate? The answer to that is yes, absolutely. Is it a quality high? I don't know. I'm not 420 friendly. But, just my opinion, yeah, straight up high quality. Straight up high quality. So, all right, with all that said, joining me from Georgia is the contributing editor to SoftRep, a former Sergeant United States Marine Corps, and a new dad, Alex Holling. So Alex, hey, just so everybody knows, he's got a little cold, so we're not going to make fun of him today. But
I'm pretty thick skinned. You guys can pick on me for sounding like I'm talking out my nose. That's all right.
Well, you know we're going to. I mean, the only reason I say we're not going to do it is so I can do it, right?
That makes sense. That's fair. That's fair.
All right. First of all, everything went all right. Congrats, and you're a dad now. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, everything went all right for me. I mean, my poor wife was in labor for 44 hours.
Wow.
So I think that, but everything went swimmingly. But I think that she'd be reluctant to say that it was all right. But
44
man, she was a
hours.
She was. I mean, you know, she had issues with her epidural, you know, and like ended up having to have one taken out, another one put in, and all kinds of stuff that I think were I the one in the bed, I'd have been crying my eyes out. But man, she's a tough lady. She's a real tough lady.
Did I tell you that's guy appreciation 101, man? Like, whoa, like that doesn't look like a very good time. And thank God I'm a boy because
I'm not interested in doing that.
That looks.
We are.
You know what? I'll tell you though. I really would like to have a baby. And you want to know why? Throughout the course of life, how many times do you hear, oh, if you men have babies, I want to be the one I want to be the one guy who says, hey, go ahead and stop it right there, girlfriend. I've had a baby.
Because I had one.
Yeah,
had
one.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, I'm the only man that's ever had a baby. So, boom, back at you.
You know, I've got to say, it's not even just the childbirth process, which is what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But it's the healing process after giving birth. Well, my poor wife is walking like she just got done riding a horse for 3 weeks now, you know? you're well aware that actually giving birth is going to be a real rough experience. But, you know, with the epidural and the painkillers, I think it's almost more manageable than the next day. when you're like, well, it's like my crotch just stepped on an IED, and I've got to go about my day, and now I've got a life to take care of, you know? So I've been trying my best to help out as much as I can so that she can stay horizontal until she's all healed up.
Are you a good post-birth human being?
I am absolutely uncomfortable with having my daughter outside my line of sight at any time. If, like, my wife and I have been taking shifts so that hopefully we can get some sleep. So, you know, I'm on post until 3:30 in the morning when she comes out and relieves me, and then she starts sleeping on the couch. You know, so we've been doing, you know, breast and bottle and formula and, you know, kind of a conjunction of things. So this kid is a varsity-level eater.
Really?
You know, but it works out really well for me, though, because it gives me a chance. I get to feed her just as much as my wife does, you know. I try to take as many of the diapers as I can so that she doesn't have to lug the baby around on sore legs, you know. So I'm trying my best to do my share, you know.
You know, back in the day, we didn't really have, breast pumping and refrigeration and things like that. And so that was kind of a woman's gig, which, you know, as much as they have to get up at night, I was okay with that. Like, the baby's crying, hey, and I, being a supportive spouse,
take care of that.
Yeah, being a supportive spouse, like, I would roll over and I kind of, like, I wouldn't kick her, but I would, like, just shove her with my foot, like, yeah, you need to go in.
It was a boost. You were giving her a boost.
It was an assist. You need to go investigate that noise because they want what you got, and I don't got them. And then conversely, when your kid, the only thing they want is their mom, that's all they want.
Yeah.
And your mom, she's off running errands or something like that, and you've given them 6 bottles in a row, okay? You're supposed to give them 1 every 4 hours. But when your kid's crying, I used to just, here, you can.
As long as she's still willing to eat it, I'm going to keep eating it.
It's going to be gushing out of you. It's going to be gushing out of your eyeballs, okay? But you better shut up. And then your wife walks in, and she grabs a kid, and they just stop. And just look at that
kid. You know, it's funny that you say that.
You look at that kid, and you're like, someday you're going to pay for this, okay? Just know that. Someday you're going to pay for this.
I've been so lucky that my daughter is, like, not very fussy. You know, she cries when she's hungry, you know. And other than that, she's just, like, kind of chilling out and looking around and taking the world in around her. And but the other night, she kind of had her first real temper tantrum. You know, she'll be a month old this week. And so she was throwing her temper tantrum at, like, 2:30, 2:45. My wife usually comes out between 3 and 3:30. And I gave her, like, 3 bottles in a row. And I'm walking around. I'm too tired to remember the words to any song. So I'm just, like, trying to kind of sing in my raspy, crappy voice. Just whatever, you know? Like, I'm singing her. I sang her, like, the theme song to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air for a while, you know?
That'll work.
And then finally my wife comes out and grabs her, and she just shuts up. And I feel terrible saying this, but I just kind of, like, I sat down on the couch and was just like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, did you? are you serious? Like, I went through all that. And really, that's what it takes. See, that's why you give the boost. That's why you give the boost. It's like, okay, look, I can go out there, right, and it's not going to help because you know what she wants. She wants to smell you, and she wants what you got. And
you know, I'm lucky, though, man, because I think that since we went to doing, like, the boob and the bottle about 50-50 right from the get-go, I think that we've kind of got her a little bit trained.
Stop
that,
it.
Like, dad's
just
not going to get to give
no,
you
no.
as good a food.
Yeah, just stop it.
But at least dad's going to feed you.
You're kidding yourself, okay? You are not.
I'm hoping, man. I'm hopeful.
I know. You're not. Look, unless you go transgender on this, which we're going to talk about this morning. And even then, you didn't carry her. There isn't a biological connection. It's a sociological event, okay? Fatherhood.
I agree with that. Yeah. And, you know, you can kind of see bits of that. If you're paying close enough attention, because, like, every day when I go downstairs and work out, I come back upstairs and I, like, grab her and play with her, you know, and I lay her down on my chest, and my heart's really beating pretty hard when I first come upstairs after a workout, and she loves that. She, like, presses her head right up against my chest, and I really think that that's because she's accustomed to living in an environment where she was hearing a heartbeat all the time, you know? And I think maybe there's some familiarity with the sound. But then she's always, like, within 30 seconds, realizes that this isn't quite the right one.
No, this is the wrong one.
And starts trying to do push-ups to get up off of
it. Yeah. Like, come on, relax, hush, little baby.
Yeah. Please just love me.
And it's not, it's such a bullshit competition too, because you cannot win.
No. I mean, honestly, I say it all the time to my wife. I'm like, if I could lay down on you, I'd rather lay on you too. I used to fall asleep by laying my head on you all the time.
There you go.
I can't blame her, you know?
How cool of it, though, is it, you know, how cool of an experience is it, though?
Honestly, man,
the best.
It's mind-blowing, because I had so many friends, you know, when you're going to be a parent, actually, I have to give you a lot of credit. You're one of the only guys that I talked to about parenting beforehand that didn't try to, like, scare me away from it as though I can undo this.
Oh, come on.
But, you know, all parents want to, like, tell you how tough it is to be a parent as though they're, like, telling you about a hardship tour that they did. And, like, I know that in one light they're trying to prepare you, but in another light it always feels a little bit like they're saying, oh, well, everything's awful once the baby gets here. But then they temper it at the end with, but it's the best thing in the world. And when you're, you know, 9 months pregnant when your wife is, and you're nervous as hell, the last thing that you need to hear is, well, you're never going to sleep again, you're never going to have any money again, everything's going to be hard, but I swear it's worth it.
And
you don't want to hear that.
And you'll never have sex again. So
Yeah.
So
and what you want to hear instead is,
it's awesome, though.
To handle it.
Yeah, it's awesome, yeah.
You know, but I have to say, you know, I'm only a month into this game, so, right. You know, give me time to change my mind. But, yeah, you don't sleep anymore. I don't think I've slept in a month, you know, and that part is tough. But, like, you don't do some of the things you were doing before because you're so distracted by how much you love just staring at it.
Yeah, but you know like, what? It's just, it is the way it is. And, I will tell you that all that, you know, yeah, it's irritating to get up, but you've gotten up for stupider things in the middle of the night.
Yeah, exactly,
so,
man.
So,
I would argue the Marine Corps prepared me well for getting up in the middle of the night. You know,
yeah.
The baby crying is a lot better than someone saying, wake up, bitch, it's fire watch. You know, like, I'll take a baby crying over that any day.
Exactly. The baby's much more gentle. The baby's much more gentle than, you know, the off-going fire watch.
Absolutely.
All right, that's good to know. So, but everybody's doing good?
Yeah. My wife is healthy. The baby's healthy. Man, she's gained 3 pounds in 3 weeks. She's kicking butt. I don't have a complaint in the world, man. I could use a nap, but I don't have a complaint.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, fatherhood is a good nap producer.
Yeah. I used to always have trouble going to sleep. I do not now. If you give me 5 minutes in a horizontal surface, I will be asleep.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the issue of transgender. There's been a lot of discussion, obviously, as DOD, the president tweets out a policy change, which is moderately interesting, right? And,
yeah, I would call it that.
Because normally we don't do it like that.
Policy via social media is a whole new monster. Yeah. However, one could argue that the policy change he put out there wasn't keeping with his campaign promises. It wasn't keeping with his voter base, you know, that he had been appealing to throughout his campaign and early in his presidency.
Right.
I have a unique perspective on this, in that my personal politics kind of fall, I guess, like right-leaning in the middle. I consider myself fiscally conservative, but I'm pretty socially liberal. But for different reasons than I think most liberals might be. Like, for instance, I don't care who the hell gets married. It's none of my damn business. I'm like, leave me alone type of government guy. I don't want the government involved in my life. The concerns with that come in because sometimes I don't care, have the government just leave us all alone. Sometimes that belief structure doesn't fly with things like this. You know what I mean? When it comes to allowing transgender service members into the military, for instance, if you're post-op and stable, I've got kind of a weird stance on this. I don't care, man. I don't care what kind of porn you watch when you go home. I don't care what kind of outfits you wear in your off time, as long as you're within appropriate civilian attire. If you're stable and post-op, I have no concern.
All right. Now,
however,
all right, so
I can't wrap my head around the idea of paying for the surgery.
Well, I would tell you, I would say that, in my opinion, is secondary to the time that, you're not a widget. We put people out of the military all the time. And tell me if you think I'm off base. For knee injuries, shoulder injuries, all kinds of
Absolutely.
Things that they do. All kinds of all kinds of things that they do, and that makes them not a widget. Some are physical, some are mental, and we don't have.
And
therein
lies the
any.
Real problem here. You know, because so this is the timeline that I put together in my head through some research. Let's say, you know, young Alex Howings, I want to be two things. The two things that I want to be more than anything is a U.S. Marine and a lady. Okay? Sure. So I go and I decide to enlist into Uncle Sam's favorite gun club. And I'm like, once I'm in, they're going to pay for my surgery. And then once I get out, they're going to pay for my college. That's a rad deal, right? So what does the Marine Corps get in return? In order to qualify for the surgery to switch your gender from male to female or vice versa, you first have to undergo a minimum of a year of hormone treatment.
Right.
Now, during that year of hormone treatment, you're not deployable.
Right.
Because we all know how hormone treatment can affect your emotional stability.
Right.
And I'm not saying that to suggest that I think anyone who wants to change genders is crazy. I might not be able to wrap my head around it, but I'm willing to allow for the idea that that's a me issue. Let's assume it is, all right?
Okay.
During that year of hormone treatment, though, your stability is based on your access to medicine. So that makes you not deployable automatically. We can't send you to a combat zone if we have to make sure that you get your consistent dosage of this hormone treatment. After that year of hormone treatment, now you're eligible for the surgery. But the thing is that it's really not one surgery in most cases.
And again, before you get to that hormone treatment, you're undergoing psychological treatment. You have to, absolutely,
in order to qualify.
Right. You're living as that gender openly. You've told your family. You've gone through all these wickets. That's years in the making. You know, and that's
some pretty
heavy stuff.
The nuts and bolts, right? So once you qualify for that surgery, so let's say you went through the accession pipeline to go be an administrator, right? So that means you did, you know, your 13 weeks of boot camp, went home for 10 days, and you did a month of combat training, went home for a day or two, then you went to your MOS school, which will cost 3 months. You know, then by the time you get to the fleet, you're a year, year and a half into your 4-year enlistment. Then you do a year of hormone treatment, assuming, miraculously, the first day you're at your duty station, one of the things in your check-in sheet is hormone therapy, right? So a year and a half in, you start your year of treatment. That means that at the end of that year of treatment, you're now 2.5 years into a 4-year enlistment, and now you can start the surgery process. Let's assume it was one surgery and it went swimmingly. So now you have that surgery, and guess what? You're going to be on light duty for probably a year while you recover from that. So now, by the time you are a deployable Marine, you're at 3.5 years into a 4-year enlistment, and you're already starting to fill out your checkout sheet to go on terminal leave. And you've got plenty of terminal leave to burn because you've been on PTAD and late duty for your entire enlistment. So when you've got 6 months left in contract, you go fill out your checkout sheet, you leave for terminal leave when you've got 2 months left in contract, and you go use your GI Bill to go get your bachelor's degree in women's studies, because now you're a woman and you want to be down with that. The Marine Corps just paid for all of this surgery, paid you a really good living wage throughout, room and board, then they paid for you to get a college education, and at no point did we get a warfighter out of that deal. That's not fair. You know, and that's assuming all other things being equal, assuming that there are no social issues that we have to address, which obviously there would be. You know, just the fact that in exchange for us giving you a paycheck for 4 years, we expect a warfighter, and we don't get one. But you still get all the benefits of being a veteran. I take issue with that. You know?
Okay, now, let me, one of the things that I had on, do you know Dan Lamoth, who writes for the Washington Post?
I don't.
Yeah, he's a military writer for the Washington Post. Good guy, other than he's a Red Sox fan. And the Red Sox are just going to get annihilated by my Yankees now that the Yankees have Giancarlo Stanton. So anyway,
man, you should have a conversation with my wife. She grew up a Yankees fan, and when we lived in Boston, she switched teams.
What?
Which is, I don't even understand how you can do that as
you
a Yankees fan.
You can't do that.
That's like transgender surgery.
It's in the charade. You can't flip that one. Like, there's some things you can't change in life. That would be one of them.
I mean, admittedly, I've never seen this woman watch a baseball game in her life.
Doesn't matter.
I've known her since sixth grade. But nonetheless, I have to agree.
You can't do that. So, Lamoth, in kind of researching the issue, because you see a number like 13,000, it's estimated there's 13,000 transgender active in reserve.
That equates to about like 0.0075%.
Okay, so but that doesn't, like, I hear that and I think, like, there's no way that number's even close to being right. There's no way.
And it's an extrapolation of a guess.
Well, but here's what I didn't know. The term transgender applies to anybody who is mentally one thing and physically another. So that dislocated person that's not a straight logical syllogism, no pun intended, is that person is categorized as transgender. So there will be transgender people that don't want sexual reassignment surgery, that are fine, maybe being one sex, but living openly as another, and aren't going to seek that. They're transgender too. And so then as we kind of walk the dog on the different variations on the spectrum of what is transgender, you know, the smallest segment would be those requiring sexual reassignment surgery, yada, yada, yada. And which made the 13,000 number then, that was my aha moment. Oh, that's how that number would be that. Yes. So the DOD is trying to come up with a policy that is wide enough to, you know, to accommodate.
And that is an unenviable task.
Absolutely. Because on the one spectrum, I think, for a small portion of people, I don't think I'm very much like you politically, Alex. I don't care, right, who you want to sleep with. I don't care really what they've done to your body. Are you going to show up for work? Are you going to work hard every day? Are you going to be a positive contributing member to what we do? And if you're going to do that, then here you go. Help us pull in that direction. If you're not going
to... Absolutely. Ultimately, the job of the Marine Corps is to win wars. It's not to make even the Marines within the service feel good about themselves. It's to win wars.
If you're not going to do that, then go away, okay? And I don't care, again, I don't care what gender you are. I don't care who you sleep with. If you're not helping, we don't need you. Go away, please. And so I am in talking about that and talking that through, it's a pretty complex issue because for the uninformed among us, and I chiefly was one of them, you're identifying transgender with this segment, and it's not the vast majority of that 13,000 are not seeking sexual reassignment surgery. Now the problem though is, you know, there's a higher incidence of mental health issue, yada yada yada, as these people kind of sort through the core issue of their life, meaning.
You know, and one could argue that's perfectly reasonable. You could be an otherwise mentally healthy person who's struggling with this gender identity issue. And again, I'm trying to reach outside the parameters of my understanding because in my head I just don't get it. But I try my best to understand that I don't need to get things for them to be important, you know? And I think you're 100% right. You could be an otherwise emotionally stable person, but as you go through your formative years, what your late teens, your early 20s really truly are in a lot of ways, and you're struggling with your gender identity, even if, like, we're not talking about, you know, a biological issue within your brain, but that's a lot of shit to deal with. That's a really heavy subject. I'm not sure that's the person you should put a rifle in their hand But, you know, but if they are, you know, if they go through the same, you know, you go through the meth station and, you know, your doctor clears you and your doctor thinks that you're stable, who am I to judge? You know, but these are concerns that I have, you know. That's why when I say if you're post-op and stable, I don't have a qualm with it. But you're enlightening me here that a lot of them, maybe that's not their goal, you know. And I feel bad even saying a lot of them, like they're this, I mean, they're Americans that want to serve their country. And we should respect that. That in and of itself is significant.
You know, I had a blinding flash of the obvious years ago when, you know, the whole subject of gay marriage. And so, you know, no matter how you feel about it, you look at the Constitution and it says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And other than pulling the Bible in, what is the compelling national interest for banning marriage between two consenting adults?
I can't agree more, man.
And so I did this live on the radio, and I said, so call me and tell me the compelling public interest in banning this. And, you know, people would say, oh, you know, public health AIDS. Like, sorry, man.
That's not a legitimate argument.
And then, you know, ultimately the Bible would constantly creep into it. So to me, there's the same issue. In a country that, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, where you are free to live your life as long as you don't infringe on other people's rights, and as long as you meet all the requirements, and this is the same argument with females in combat arms, as much as guys hate it, as long as you meet all the requirements, then how do you say, no, they can't do it? Well, the answer is they can't do it.
You know, and you raise a great point, like with the females in combat arms thing. I think that in a certain way is a great example of what we're talking about here, because there are two real arguments against transgender military service members. And one of them is an emotional argument that we try our best to approach in a logical way to make it seem reasonable. But it gives me the heebie-jeebies, and I don't want them in a foxhole with me. It isn't what that you can say, so you try your best to come up with a really intelligent and eloquent way to word that. We should ignore those arguments because the Marine Corps, I mean all branches, but the Marine Corps, one thing that it's really good at is making mission, even if you don't like what's going on. I don't like working weekends. I don't like being away from my family for months, but you do what you have to do. And if the command comes down and says, well, from now on there's going to be women here, treat them with respect and act accordingly, there's going to be some growing pains, but Marines make mission. And you're just going to have to suck it up and do it.
Well,
I don't care if you don't like it.
Alex, let me ask you this. How amusing do you think it would be in any group to have somebody that's transgender once you all get over that, right? So let's just say you're the transgender person. Hey, Hollings, we're having a discussion over here. Come here, right? Hey, and then you're going to get the stupidest question in the world asked, and then you're going to hear the stupidest conversation that's going to be hilarious that you've ever heard. But it all becomes, you know, part of what we do. Now, I think the important piece is, just like it is women in combat, is the standard. If you're not worldwide deployable, if you can't meet the standard, then I'm sorry, we exclude people all the time. And so
the Marine Corps gave me a bus ticket home because my knees just wouldn't work anymore, you know. And I tried my best to argue it. I went to doctors and showed them that I could squat, and I went and passed a PFC. And I was like, I can still make mission. I can still be deployable. And they were like, you don't have any cartilage in your knees, and you're missing a ligament. You're garbage to us. We're sending you home. And I don't dispute it. The Marine Corps took great care of me on the way out the door. But at the end of the day, no matter how bad I wanted to be there, I wasn't an asset to the organization anymore and the way they needed me to be. And it's a tough call to make, but the Marine Corps as a branch needs to make those calls. But just like you said, if you can meet those standards, I don't see any reason for you not to be there. You know?
All right. Somebody just sent me an email, and I need to look this up. So the email says this. Mac, I think like most people who listen to your program, I have learned a ton about the transgender issue that I sadly did not know. I, like you and Alex, assume that transgender meant somebody who was in the process of gender reassignment surgery, hormone replacement. My question is this morning, what are the different things that we medically disqualify people for in the military?
I would imagine it's a fairly long list. I had my ship out to Paris Island delayed by a couple of hours because my blood pressure just tends to run high. It always has, you know, but I was right on that cusp where they were worried about it, you know. I was almost not allowed to enlist just because, you know, the first time I tried to enlist back in 2006, I had metal screws in my ankle, so they sent me home. Or, excuse me, that was 03. In 06, when there was a push, they were like, we don't care about those screws. Come on in. We'll take everybody, you know. But I'd imagine it's a fairly long list of disqualifiable conditions. But I bet you it's also a spectrum, you know. It's probably a bit subjective based on the doctor's position on how your knee might look or the medications that you're taking, you know. I'm a proud believer in being open and honest about, for instance, taking antidepressants and stuff like that, because I think it's important we reduce the stigma surrounding anti-anxiety, antidepressant medication. However, I also go, me right now, who I take an antidepressant every day, I'm not sure that I'm necessarily the guy you want to deploy to a place where I may not be able to get my medication. Not because without the antidepressants I'm a lunatic, but because going off of a medication like that cold turkey can make you more prone to depression. It can make you more prone to anxiety for a window of time, just like coming off of any drug. So I have those same concerns about, in a transgender situation, if you're undergoing psychological treatment and it involves medication, we need to be aware of how coming off of it cold turkey will affect you, you know? But again, it's a medical call, and if the medical call is that, it's fine. Who am I to judge? I agree with it then. You know, I'm not the expert.
You know, I'm looking at for the Department of the Navy, things that will disqualify you. You got to be kidding me, man. The list goes on forever. And this is just miscellaneous conditions of extremities, arthritis, fractures, joint replacement, in the eyes, your lids, conjunctivitis, your cornea, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it goes on forever. So, I mean, it's amazing. Urinary.
You know, but I think you made a great point about how the DOD is tasked with establishing an SOP that's broad enough to encompass what is clearly a far broader subject than I was obviously aware. You know, I think that most of us are obviously aware. And that's why I take issue with some of these headlines you've seen in a lot of the mainstream media where they go, Mattis is about to go against Trump and allow transgender troops and so forth. Like, it's not as simple as Jim Mattis being like, you know what, I say they're in. And it's not as simple as Donald Trump saying, I say they're out. It's a far more, I mean, I guess like all things, it's a far more complicated and gray issue than it is a black and white one.
You know what, I have a take on both of them. One, I think Trump obviously played to middle America. And I think most people, when they think about transgender service in the United States Department of Defense, paying for that reassignment surgery, I think that most people believe that's beyond the pale. But I don't think Donald Trump cares one iota about it. It was a campaign thing, and he made the tweet. I think he would give not one crap if Mattis ultimately concludes his study and comes and sits down with him and says, so this is what I think is in the best interest of the nation. And they sit down and
if the guy weren't the president, right. If he was just Donald Trump, the CEO of some company, I think his position would be different.
I agree. And I think, and again, I knowing General Mattis and Secretary Mattis and General Dunford as I do, and John Kelly, their focus is get this right. Okay, get this right for the Department of Defense. Okay, and so you got to do what's in the best interest of both people that want to serve, because it might not be the best thing for them as much as they might have dreamt, you know, had it as a dream since they were a child. And then you got to do what's best for the military. And so that's their only focus.
It might not be the best thing for them. I that makes me think of I had a friend ask me recently. He had a buddy who's in college right now, wants to drop out of college and wants more than anything to be an Army Ranger. He wants to be a Ranger. And he went to the Army recruiter's office, and he'll have to forgive, I don't know the MOSs off the top of my head. I think it's an 11 Bravo. Yeah, I could be wrong on that.
That's a grunt.
But he wants a Ranger contract. And the recruiter said, I can't give you a Ranger contract, but I can give you an infantry contract. And once you get in, there are Ranger recruiters throughout the pipeline that you can talk to, and they will get you spun up to go towards Ranger Battalion. And I told him, do not believe that recruiter. Once your package is in, once you're in the accession pipeline, there's no such thing as a person who cares enough about you to change the course that you're on, unless it benefits the branch or the recruiter, you know? But I did tell him, if you care enough about being a Ranger, if this is important enough to you, you'll get multiple opportunities to go for a Ranger in your life. You can join the Army as a cook and find your way there. You have to want it bad enough. And, you know, and that could be the case for some people. You know, some people may go and try to enlist, and the recruiter or the medical doctor might say, you know, we can't take you right now. It happened to me in 03, you know. If you want it bad enough, you got to go try again, you know. And so I think you're 100% right. Some people might be turned away that have a real passion for it. But if the passion's there, you can always try again, you know. Down the road, the standards might be different. You very well will be different. Try it out again. You know, but I think that we have to be delicate about the way that we word this policy, because you don't want to, just like you're saying, we don't want to broadly ban an entire demographic, as small as it may be, but in large part for the PR purposes. I know people don't like to think of the Defense Department as an organization that has to worry about PR and marketing, but it really does. They have a significant marketing budget, you know. They give millions of dollars a year to the NFL for a good reason. You know, the USC, the Marine Corps pays the USC for marketing. It's important that we maintain this image that's marketable, that's appealing, that makes people want to go fight a lava monster with a sword.
Right.
You have to maintain that. And if you broadly ban the demographic, you're going to lose recruits, even that don't fall within that demographic, but that have principles that do. You know, principles that side with those that you've banned. So this is a complicated thing. You know,
but I would tell you this, in the footnotes is the truth, and ultimately the fidelity, right? Ultimately the fidelity to what we stand for as Americans, because you know what, we can say, I don't want to serve. I don't want to serve with those guys. I mean, come on. Whoa. And we can throw that hissy fit. And when somebody, you know, friends, and I'll give you one, you know, when Barack Obama got elected. Right? First black president. You know? Don't tell me that you didn't hear in certain places in the DOD, I'm not putting his picture up. Right? And the appropriate response is, you get that goddamn picture up right now.
Unfuck yourself rapidly. Right. Yeah, I would agree.
Right. Before I stick my foot up to my knee right up your ass. Right? And that's how, but again, because what you're teaching is about what it is to be an American, and whether everybody likes it or not, we're an inclusive society like no other. And when you go, for instance, if you took pictures of the cabinets from different countries, what are you going to see in Spain? Are you going to see Asian people in the Spanish cabinet? No. Okay? You're not going to see in the United States, you see the rainbow of what we are as a melting pot. And ultimately, you're a reflection of that. And so I think when it comes to these issues, as it is with women, You know, you sat around, you argued about, oh, the camaraderie and the atmosphere and blah, 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 blah. And then somebody looks and says, hey, you can't exclude them on the basis of that. Okay?
We had all those same arguments when we were going to desegregate the service.
Right. Right.
You know, people had those same arguments that white men and black men can never serve alongside one another. The camaraderie, you know, they'll never get along. And now, you know, 2017, while race is still an issue in this country, you know, all of my best friends throughout my time in the service weren't white guys. I was a white guy from Vermont. You know, and when we played high school sports, if a team would show up with a black guy on it, we were like, oh, man, we're in trouble. You know, that was the understanding we had of the African-American race.
The black guys.
Well, they're better than us. You know, it wasn't until I joined the Marines and I was working with my buddy Victor Rumsway, who's now a recruiter, whose father immigrated from Nigeria. And I was like, oh, wait, you're literally the same guy that I am. We're the same guy. You know, we have the same principles. We have the same ideals. We have the same goals. And you know, I had to be exposed to people that were different than me to see how similar we were. And you can make the same argument about women in combat roles. You can make the same argument about gays or transgender people. The more you're exposed to them, the more normal it becomes, and the less conflict arises. You know? So if we try to shield ourselves from this, if we try to close ourselves off, we're going to be on the wrong side of history.
Right.
You know?
And
we're
going to
see those people in the pictures when they're desegregating schools, you know, throwing their lunches at the black students.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that person, man.
Yeah, that's, you don't want to be in that picture, trust me. The when they roll that out for your kids, like, Mom, why is Grandpa, why do they always show that picture that Grandpa's in? Like, I don't know.
Well, when Grandpa was 13, he was an asshole.
He was an idiot.
You know, but that's a hard conversation to have.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I'm with you. The Alex Holling's my guest here on I. Hey, do you have time for me to take a break?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Okay. And Alex, a new father. We're talking about the complexity of the transgender issue. I got a couple of more emails here on a Monday morning where we get going. More of All Marine Radio. We're going to talk about those and then find out what Alex is writing about. You can find him on softrep.com. He is a contributing editor there. So writes a column on Old Man Fitness, which we're all partial to. So sit back, relax. We've got about a four-minute break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation on a Monday with the one and only Alex Hollings here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nilsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nilsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nilsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do. And I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global Stock Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the stock community should be aware of.
The Global Stock Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/marine.
Militarybyowner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Sidewalk ends and the road begins. We said goodbye on a cold, dark night.
George Strait, that's right. I cover him just about any time I want. The, I've got an email here. Hey, Mac. Alex Hollings, a man who needs no introduction on All Marine Radio, continues with us. Hey, Mac, how the hell do you turn off Google from asking you questions about every place you go on the planet? Are you kidding me? Orwell could have never conceived of this. It is. Who? You know what? I'm with him. What? Could you imagine in Orwell, you're going to have a device, your homing device, that communicates with you. It asks you questions when you go someplace, asking you to report on.
And it's listening all the time.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It records everything you do. And you're,
I mean,
no,
and I've got the Alexa, you know, the Echo Dot in my house too, and then I've got the Xbox with the voice commands and stuff. Like, I think that they're, like, I installed the spying listening devices in my house voluntarily. You know? Like, no longer, I really feel like the intelligence apparatus doesn't have to try to figure out ways to get bucks to you anymore. They just have to figure out ways to access the ones you bought.
Well, you know what, that's straight up. I mean, things that the Russians could never have done with human assets are now, they don't even have to leave Moscow. All they have to do is get their dorks, you know, their hacking dorks, you know. So it's a bunch of, like, you know, long-haired, overweight doofuses who do nothing but hack stuff, and then they're like the most powerful people on the planet because they hack into stuff and they steal stuff that the Russians could never get their hands on.
Argument that I have to support that is that I know a lot of guys, you know, a number of former Green Berets, a couple of Delta guys, who when they got out of the service, they went into cybersecurity, you know, and now these same guys that were once like, you know, the baddest guys on the block, they spend their whole lives in a cubicle, you know, punching away at a keyboard, and they're still doing as much for America's national security in that regard as they were you know, carrying a rifle. Because, I mean, that's the battleground of the 21st century, you know. And if you're a bright enough guy and you can change career paths, you know, once your knees just aren't going to carry your pack anymore, it's very similar when you think in terms of, like, trying to defend the homeland. You know, it's a scary idea. I recently wrote an article about the four places that World War III could potentially start, and my number one was the digital realm. You know, a concerted cyber attack against the U.S. infrastructure is an act of war.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, when the Atlanta airport got shut down yesterday for 8 hours.
Which, man, it's home for me because my mom and brother are at the Atlanta airport right now, flying home.
Nice. Well, hey, I hope they're listening, and if they are, I hope they're doing their best. Chick-fil-A is giving away food, evidently, so...
I will say, my mom is a big fan of yours, man. She definitely loves, like, McNamara.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. But when you see things like that, I'll tell you what my first thought is: who did that? Who did that?
I agree.
Because that airport has power and it has backup power because it has to operate 24 hours a day, just like we do in combat. Okay, when the electricity goes off. Somebody stands up, normally the ops chief, and says, stay in your place. And about 20 seconds later, you hear a lawnmower start up outside.
Yep.
And it comes to life, and everything comes back on. All right, let's go. And you don't miss a beat. And that's airports are no different. How does that airport lose power like that and then impact travel worldwide and not a small way? That was an accident?
I'm not a big believer in coincidence.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. It could have been... You know, there could have been a cascading number of accidents, you know, errors, faulty problems, maintenance that went wrong, what have you.
But
to me, that's, you know, Occam's Razor. So if Occam's Razor, you know, for anybody who's not familiar with it, is just the idea that the simplest answer is usually the right one. I'm paraphrasing. But, like, if you have to make a deductive leap, the shortest leap is the one that you should lean towards, you know. And my shortest leap... is that, no, this hasn't happened before, which is a good indicator that it isn't easy for something like this to occur. My deductive leap, the shortest one for me, is that it's a cyber attack. The shortest one for me is that this is intentional. And maybe that's just because I consider that a safety net, you know, because I would rather we err on the side of attack and posture in a way to defend against the possibility of further ones than for us to just assume, oh, man, a whole bunch of random things must have gone wrong here, huh?
Right.
You know, I don't know, man. But what's concerning about that is that, you know, there are very few air gaps in our infrastructure when it comes to cybersecurity. And an air gap being no connectivity whatsoever into things that control things like our electrical grid. You know, one of the reasons why we can't know about North Korea's nuclear missile program until we watch the missiles launch is because of the air gap. You know, we have to wait until a ballistic missile hits the air and then try to determine what its trajectory is, and then gather as much data as we possibly can from THAAD and Aegis, you know, and satellites overhead, so that we can learn about their program. Because there's no internet connectivity anywhere in that program. There is internet connectivity at every level of our infrastructure.
Right.
It would be, and if you turn the lights off, man, it's not just the lights going off. You know, without electricity, we can't pump gas, we can't ship goods. Cities, all of a sudden, don't have access to more food. You know, electricity, without electricity, we're in much worse shape than most people think. You know, Survivor Man is not real for most of us. You're not even in a position where you can go outside and, you know, forage for food. Electricity is the lifeblood of our nation. And it's, I would argue, the only threat that's second to that would be our orbital infrastructure, our satellites that we're still dependent on, and have very little defense assets in place to defend against an attack. And we think about these things last. We worry about a missile coming. We worry about going to war with Russia over the Baltics, which we should. We worry about the South China Sea and about the Korean Peninsula. But we don't worry about the GPS satellites overhead that we rely on, not just for me to get to the grocery store the next town over, but we rely on that for our ships to know where they are. We rely on that to coordinate airstrikes. We rely on that for our ground troops to coordinate with one another. I mean, we live in a dangerous time, man. You know, all it takes is... some really creative, really ingenuitive, small group of hackers. I mean, North Korean hackers could easily be a huge issue for our country. You know, 15 people can affect 15 million. And that's a scary time, you know?
My guest, Alex Hollings, we're talking about scary times here. And we're living in them. And when you can see an airport like Atlanta, is it Hartsfield Airport still, or did they build a new one? But Atlanta's airport.
I couldn't even tell you, man. You have to pull my teeth out to get me to drive to Atlanta. It might only be an hour away, but you won't catch me there.
Nice.
It here in the woods.
Somebody, if you have instructions on how, I'd be curious about that, because I am sick and tired of Google asking me stuff. That's how we got started on this.
We're big digression on my part there.
No!
Some listeners.
No, and let's see. Here's another one about transgender. How do we deal with the fact that many Americans in uniform will be morally offended by this?
I mean, this is going to sound like kind of a jerk answer, but that's their problem. That's not the country's problem. That's not the system's problem. I mean, you could have asked that same question worded the same way. I'm not accusing your listener of being in this boat, of this camp.
Right.
But people asked that same question about integrating the races in the military at one point. You know, a swath of Americans will be morally and ethically offended by this decision. Ultimately, that's not the role of the Defense Department to bend to the whim of the populace's moral objection. The goal of the Defense Department is to win wars and defend the country. And we need to do that any way we can, the best way that we can, which includes marketing and PR, which includes, you know, integrating in every way that we can and need to so that our military represents our population. You know, and there might be a vocal minority of people who are morally opposed to things like this, but just like racial integration, with familiarity comes comfort. You know, I'm a big believer. When I was an HR manager and there was interpersonal conflict, you know, and I worked in aviation, military aviation, like in manufacturing plant. It's really easy to hate that guy over there in the clean room or hate all the clean room guys. It's really hard to hate Jim once you sit across from Jim and have a conversation with him, you know. When we group up, it's easy to hate other groups. Maybe hate's the wrong word, but it's easy to think less of. It's easy to feel contested by other groups. But when you sit across from them and you have a conversation with them, you find that you have a lot in common. You find that there might be some really powerful differences that have been the focal point of your conflict, but maybe you guys like the same football team. You know, maybe you guys both have a daughter. Maybe you guys, you know, both really love the same band. There are plenty of cultural context clues that are kind of equal across the board for all of us. We just tend to focus on the ones that are different because humans are pack animals. You know, we're tribal. I really think that you will see a backlash of people who are morally opposed to transgender integration, just like you've seen that same thing in just about every social change in our country's history. And, you know, and that vocal minority will remain for a long, long time. I mean, there are still people who are pro-segregation today. But what matters...
Yeah, but, I think there's this horrible vision that people have, like, transgender. And then they go from the word transgender to some crazy video clip from, like, what is it, the Hollywood...
That guy screaming, leave Britney alone?
Well, it's worse than that. It would be the West Hollywood... You know, one of the parades they have up there that gets those things get crazy, and so they slew to that, and you're like, that's good, that's going to be us. The answer is like, okay, no, I want you to meet them, okay, I want you to talk to them.
You think it's a great point. That's a lot like showing.
And so then what happens is what? Then you meet them. Right, and I'll tell you what, a guy just passed away. I want to say his name was Hubner, and he crash landed his Corsair at the Chosin Reservoir to save his wingman, who was the first black naval aviator in history. Okay, and so riddle me that, Batman. And I, when I read it, I said, he did what? He crash-landed his own aircraft? Yeah. His roommate was shot down, and they were wingmen, and he was trapped in the wreckage. And so he circled a few times, and then he crash-landed his plane to try to get him out before he died. And ultimately...
But that's a rad story. That
isn't
is awesome.
It? Yeah, I want to say... I want to say his name's Hubner, and he just passed away at the age of 90-something. But you read the story, and you're like, are you kidding me? Like, well, wait a minute. You know, how does that work? Because, you know, Hubner goes to... I'm making this up, but when Hubner went to OCS, you know, his grandfather said, hey, don't talk to black people. You're going to meet them. You know, they're in and around the military. Don't talk to them. And all of a sudden you find out that your best friend black, and you go home and you talk to Grandpa and say, hey, Grandpa, you're full of shit, man. All that stuff
I was
watching
a documentary about Nelson Mandela, and when he was elected president of South Africa, you know, the people who were in charge of security for the presidential office were a part of the same security force that had just brutally enforced apartheid, you know?
Right.
And the head of that group, you know, they're interviewing him, and he's like, there's no question about it, I was racist. It's like, I was brought up. But when I was born, apartheid had already been in place for 40 years. There wasn't a question. Like, it wasn't a moral consideration. It was just, this is the way society works. And there's no question in my mind that when Mandela was elected, I was a racist. And I firmly believed that this wasn't good for my country. But Nelson Mandela mandated, he's like, no, I'm not going to bring my own security detail, which he had, and just have them replace the presidential security. We are going to integrate the existing presidential security with my security detail. And so the interview was between the head of Mandela's security detail coming in and the head of the presidential security detail that was already in place and how they were forced to work together. These two guys still don't like each other, but they have huge amounts of respect for one another and huge amounts of respect for Nelson Mandela. What it really came down to was they had to work together. They had to work on the same team in the interest of the same fight, for them to understand that they're the same guy. You don't have to like each other. You don't have to have barbecues with one another to respect one another. And that's where they ultimately got. And I think that that's a really good analogy for so many of the cultural divides in our society. Nelson Mandela was like, I'm going to lock you guys in a room, that room being protecting me for the next 4 years. I'm going to lock you guys in a room until you get along. And it worked. You know, exposure really does help comfort and familiarity. And until we're willing to expose ourselves to things that we may not be comfortable with, we're just kind of reinforcing that discomfort. We're slowing progress down. As much as I hate when people use the word progress, especially to advance like what I consider to be a liberal agenda, it's true in some cases, you know? We need to move towards inclusiveness. But in order to do that, we need to move towards understanding each other. You know, it doesn't benefit Americans to split within America by any group. We need to recognize that we're on the same team. We can all be a part of different bowling leagues, but we need to make sure we've got our priorities in order, you know?
Alex Holling is my guest. All right, let's talk about switch gears. What are you writing about these days?
Oh, man. I would ask that everybody put your tinfoil hats on for this one because I'm very excited about it. But the New York Times just broke a story recently about how the Pentagon has been funding UFO research for years now. Started, I want to say, in 2004. You know, and so this is, if you ask me, the story in itself, I'm not surprised at all. I would expect, you know, because the Pentagon's been only investigating reports from service members, Navy pilots, Air Force pilots, that come back with footage that they think is weird. The Pentagon's investigating this, I would argue, not because they're worried about aliens, so much as they're worried about peer-level opponents with next-generation technology that we need to keep an eye on, you know? That part doesn't surprise me at all. It's an interesting story. There's some great pull quotes, and I'll probably write it up. The thing that interests me so much are the tidbits in this New York Times story that they don't follow through on. But if you're... So I've run a lot of articles kind of debunking UFO phenomenon. My pet theory is that Foo Fighters originated because we had never done... Foo Fighters in World War II were lights that British and American pilots saw in the European theater that was kind of the origination of the flying saucer mythology. Right. And my theory on that is that we had never conducted night combat operations in the sky before in human history. You know, and we've got these aviators who are flying in the dark without instrumentation, really, to support... until eventually they got close access radar, but prior to that, they're basically just flying up there using their eyes to keep an eye on the horizon to know where their plane is in relation and trying to spot German bombers, you know, flying across the channel. When you're in that position for the first time in history, you see a light way out there in the ocean. It's going to be really hard to know that that's a light out there in the ocean and not a light in the sky. You know, it's going to be tough to make that determination. And I think after a few maybe pretty credible reports of weird lights came out, it became increasingly acceptable to report these weird lights. And the, you're willing to accept a broader range of phenomenon to be weird paranormal things, right? A couple years later, we have the Roswell crash. And then UFOs, flying saucers are, you know, because the Foo Fighters story was huge. It ran during the holiday season when everybody was home in newspapers all across the country. 2 years later, Roswell happens, and the story's huge again. We're implanting the idea ahead of time that there could be flying saucers. Now, I'm really well-read on this because I want to find proof. I want there to be flying saucers. I just haven't found anything to support that idea. So there are a couple of things that you come across over and over and over again when you're researching this type of thing. One of them is the Skinwalker Ranch out in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And another one, oddly enough, is Blink-182 singer Tom DeLonge. I know that sounds nuts. Follow me on this one.
So
the Skinwalker Ranch is like an urban legend. You know, it's this place where there's supposed to be, it's called the Skinwalker Ranch colloquially because of the Native American Skinwalker legends, because there were sightings of them in this territory. Now there's UFO sightings there, there's Bigfoot sightings there, there's vortices of paranormal powers. You know, you find a lot of GeoCity sites with black background and green text that are just rambling about this place. So it's obviously bullshit, if you ask me. You know?
Oh!
But this guy Bigelow,
wow,
bought the Skinwalker Ranch and closed it off for research. He's a billionaire, right? Okay, that's interesting, but I always thought that that was a really good marketing ploy. He's had it closed up for years. Now he's going to open it up and, you know, charge admission. You know, it'll be the next Wheatley House or the next Winchester Mystery House. However, when you read this New York Times story, Bigelow, the guy who bought the Skinwalker Ranch, convinced these three senators to open up this UFO investigation by inviting him to, quote, the Bigelow Ranch in Utah. So when I saw that, I was like, I know Skinwalker Ranch is in Utah. I know Bigelow owns it. I'm going to Google this.
Okay, hold on. Okay, let me ask you a question, though. Did that person... holy smokes. Wait, there's a couple of breaking news stories that... let me just update them. There's an Amtrak train derailed south of Seattle. Spilling cars onto Interstate 5.
Any word on casualties?
Stand by. Next one is authorities say injuries and casualties are reported at the Amtrak train derailment south of Seattle. It came off an overpass over I-5, and I saw one image. Also, this morning, it's just 10:32, so 8 minutes ago. John Skipper resigns as the ESPN president.
I would imagine sexual misconduct allegations would be my shot in the dark. Current trends.
It doesn't say. I have to close that decision to be the company. I have struggled for many years with a substance addiction. I've denied that the most important thing I can do right now is to take care of my problem. I have disclosed the decision. You know what? Normally, when they say stuff like that,
that's because something's about to come out tomorrow.
Yeah, it's not the truth. Okay, so he might have had a substance abuse issue, that's not the real reason he resigned. I would look for sexual harassment issues to come
forward. That's PR 101. I mean, the Russians just accused the U.S. of crossing the Euphrates, in Syria, the day before a New York Times story was about to break that was revealing that the Russians had violated that, you know, that demilitarized line over the Euphrates 9 times in a single day. You know, it's a PR 101, get out in front of it, and people will only remember the first headline.
Again,
you know?
The motto of Amarin Radio, if the Russians are saying it, it's a lie. Okay?
Yes.
Just take it to the bank, because they're not good people. They might be interesting to hang out with individually on occasion, but as a group, it's a nation.
The Russian government's bad guys, man.
No, they are straight up bad
guys.
I mean,
in 2 weeks, Russia has accused the United States of supporting ISIS in Syria using falsified accounts, even hoax video footage that they pulled from a video game not that long ago.
That was hilarious.
Yesterday, Vladimir Putin thanked Donald Trump for helping prevent an ISIS attack in St. Petersburg. You know, the hands aren't even shaking one another in Russia. They're just throwing spaghetti at the wall
right. When
it comes to trying to hurt the U.S.'s foreign policy.
Right. No, and that's, you know, all right. I don't want to interrupt. So keep going on your UFO thing.
All right. So just to make it brief, long story short, this Skinwalker Ranch that's like an urban legend and has been for years, it turns out is where these senators went to be convinced to allocate $22 million to studying UFOs. So that, I'm not saying that means that there's something legitimately at the Skinwalker Ranch. It might just be that Bigelow's a great salesman, because he did get the contract from the Pentagon to continue his investigation. So, I mean, that could just be some dirty baseball. But it's interesting that this urban legend ended up directly affecting line items at the Pentagon, to the point where now there's an office on the fifth floor of the Pentagon devoted to studying UFOs. And then it gets a little bit weirder when Tom DeLonge, who's the lead singer of Blink 182, he's now a UFO expert, according to him, and he went on the Joe Rogan podcast not long ago, talking about his new company that was all about trying to expose UFO technology that we already have access to. According to him, he's got like connections in the Pentagon, connections in the CIA, and they're going to help him. And it all sounded like crazy person shit. And I, you know, I had a bunch of people message me on Twitter about it, and I was like, this guy is a quack. It turns out the guy who was in charge of the Pentagon's UFO program, who resigned in October, just started working for Tom DeLonge's crazy person company. So again, this doesn't prove anything. This doesn't mean anything. But it's really interesting to me that all these urban legends are directly affecting Pentagon budgetary considerations, which means either we're making some kind of bad decisions when it comes to funding, or they saw at least enough evidence of something weird. Doesn't have to be an alien, could easily be a Russian, but they saw enough evidence of something weird to think it was worth $22 million. You know? And I think the real story isn't that the Pentagon's investigating this stuff, because I'd expect them to. I think the real story is, how did they get to the point where they decided to? You know, Project Blue Book ended in the 50s, and we haven't acknowledged researching this stuff since. So how did the lead singer of Blink 182 and this billionaire space mogul who bought, in my opinion, you know, the equivalent of a haunted spooky ghost house, how did these guys get three senators to pull $22 million out of the black budget so that they wouldn't have to disclose and debate on the Senate floor where the money came from? But, you know, I would really like to know what conversation went on. I would have loved to have been a fly on that wall. How do you sell these three guys on taking $22 million out of the black budget for this? And so that's what I've been digging through. The problem is that there's just so much garbage on the Internet about flying saucers and aliens and the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot that it's really hard to find reputable sources that you can confirm. So that's what I've been working on all night while my in-between feeding the baby, is trying to find how the hell did these guys that I would consider to be quacks yank $22 million out of the Pentagon? You know? And to be honest, I don't have an answer yet.
I'll make a recommendation.
I'm all ears, absolutely.
It will senators don't do things for esoteric reasons. It will, whoever owned that ranch, it was a donator to somebody, to the significant.
100%.
So they did a fool's errand for the money.
I think that there's a high likelihood. Like I said, I think Tony Baseball was definitely in play, because the guy who convinced them to do this investigation was also the guy who got the government contract. And if you ask me, that's got corruption written all over it.
Yeah, there you go.
You know
it's,
but I'd argue there are easier ways than convincing the Pentagon that there are flying saucers out there to suck money out of the defense budget. You know, I mean, I know a guy who runs a company where he just welds targets together
you know, for ranges, and he makes a very good living doing that. There are easier ways to get more money, you know, but I think you're probably right. I definitely think corruption played a role here. I guess my problem is I don't know when crazy ends and corruption begins, or vice versa, and that's what I'm trying to find. At what point did they go, you know what, this is believable enough that we could probably sell some guys on giving you office space. You know, and at what point were they going, just nudging each other in the ribs, saying, I hope you get your new Ferrari. I don't know. It's the whole thing smells fishy to me. I'm not sure what kind of fish. I don't know if it's crazy or not.
It seemed like it's always the same quotient, which is money. And until we somehow or other insulate, you know, people's ability to purchase the democracy, then to me it's always the same. It's always the same discussion. It is money and the quest for power. I mean that is when you look at the whole Trump dossier thing. It comes to money and power, which is who's going to control the presidency. And so we'll get behind. Yeah, I mean if this stuff turns out to be true, that you know this is manufactured stuff, and then it was used by the FBI in a FISA warrant. I mean that's pretty yucky. I've got another email question for you, Mac. I want to hear the latest update to Old Man Fitness. Talk to me.
Well, the one that just came out last night, if you go on softup.com, it's the number one trending story right now. So I encourage
you
to check that out. You know, I'm happy to report. But this week is all about body image issues and how when you hear the phrase body image issues, you think I'm talking about 16-year-old girls at the mall. But it's a very real thing for adult men, for masculine men who aren't, you know, transgender and concerned about, you know, how they appear. I think it's totally normal to worry about how you look. And there's been a shift in the last 20 years towards what we consider to be a normal, attractive male body type. You know, one of the examples I use is in 2000, the first X-Men movie came out, and Hugh Jackman is running around the X-Mansion with his shirt off, and the dude looks like your uncle. He is not jacked. He's not veiny. He's like a normal, hairy dude with claws sticking out of his hands. Fast forward 17 years, and he's supposed to be playing like a 150-year-old guy, and he is ripped like Jesus. You know, I mean, a few years earlier when X-Men First Class came out, you know, I talk about this. He's maintaining about 2-3% body fat, and all of those shots where he's all veiny and topless running around killing people. You know, you see Chris Pratt when he was on Parks and Rec was a normal guy, and being a normal guy makes him a schlub in our eyes on television. When he got a job in Guardians of the Galaxy to be a superhero, the first thing he did was lose 30 pounds and get yoked, you know? You look at every, you know, Chris Evans, you look at the guy that plays Thor, Chris Hemsworth. Look at the guys in romantic comedies. You know, these guys are all 3% body fat, you know, anomalies. The thing is the shelf life on that six-pack where you can see your veins is about the same as a gallon of milk. These guys don't look like that when they're walking around on a day-to-day basis, because it's not healthy to look like that. You have to dehydrate yourself. There's a very specific diet you have to follow. It's the same way bodybuilders cut for a competition. They don't look like that on a day-to-day basis either. They're big dudes, but they're puffier. We have this idea now that for a man to be attractive, he needs a six-pack. He needs to be vascular. And that's not healthy. So I hate when people say everybody's beautiful. I hate this big is beautiful nonsense. Type 2 diabetes is not beautiful. You're not giving your body a fair chance at survival if you're obese. But if you're aspiring to maintain that 3% body fat, if you feel like you're not accomplishing your fitness goals because you can't grade cheese on your stomach, you're wrong there too. You're doing yourself a disservice there too. It's perfectly healthy for your stomach to hang over your pants a bit. You know, but the thing, I mean, this is something women have dealt with for years. That's something men are only dealing with now more recently. But you see it in high school. I was reading a study recently that the number of high school students taking steroids has skyrocketed in recent decades. And I think that there's a parallel between that and what we expect to be, like, good-looking and attractive out of the male body. Stop aspiring to look like that guy who hasn't eaten in 3 weeks for this one shot of a movie and start aspiring to just feel good about yourself in the morning.
And that's kind of the whole point of this week's column, is it's okay to think that that guy looks rad playing Thor, just as long as you understand that he doesn't look like that today either. You know?
You know what? I don't know, though. Everything in our culture points us to the craziness, right? What we idolize, what we see, you know, the way LeBron James looks, you know, athletes ripping off their shirts, everything that's held up for us on a daily basis and shoved in our face is what? It's not normal. It is.
And not only that, but we're marketed. There's an entire industry based on the idea that you can't lose weight without buying something from us. You need this book, or you need this special keto diet, or you need this new piece of workout gear, or this new piece of exercise equipment, when the reality is losing weight is basic arithmetic. You know, we all know this. We just want it to be simpler. We want it to be easier. We want a pill. We want a device. You know? So as long as we've got two competing industries that both don't have our best interest in mind. One is the industry that says, you need to buy this stuff if you want to look like the guys on that magazine. And the other is the industry that says, hey, here's a magazine of what you're supposed to look like. You know, and they coalesce in creating this body image issue with men and with women. But what, you know, when you say body image issue, it sounds like weakness. It sounds like you're saying a guy is vain, you know, or he's all caught up in his own mirror reflection. I'm not talking about that guy. I'm not talking about the dude at the gym doing curls, making eye contact with himself. If you're that dude, you're going to be that dude, you know. I'm talking about normal guys like us that are just trying to keep our chest sticking out further than our stomach, you know? And you beat yourself up every day because you're like, ah, well, stomach's not getting any smaller. You know what, man? That's not that bad. That's not that bad a thing. As long as you're healthy. As long as you're functional.
Yeah,
you're
but I would tell you with, if you have your little come to Jesus, if you have your, and again, I just turned 60 since you and I spoke the last time. So that's a big number. I'm looking like 60, like, what is that? You know, I never thought myself as genetically gifted because I never looked like Hercules in my life. You know, but I've always been in good shape. And what I'm finding out for the longer marathon, I am genetically gifted in terms of, you know, my body's not falling apart yet.
Especially considering the resume you've got.
Well, you know what? And I had a doctor tell me that about 15 years ago. Hey, can I give you some advice? Yeah, Doc, what's that? He said, listen to your body more as you get older. And I said, what do you mean? And I was 45. I was coming back on active duty to go to Iraq in 2004. And he said, how old are you? And I said, 45. And he said, you're a Marine, aren't you? And I said, yes. And he said, how can you tell? He said, I can just tell, trust me. He said, everybody else in there is at least 12 years younger than you, and you're in the best shape of any of them. I said, boom. That's right.
And he started laughing. Walked up brushing your shoulder off right
there. Right, exactly. And he said, let me guess, played sports most of your life, athletic, in the Marine Corps, you know, you're running and doing all the stuff they do, done that most of your life. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, at some point your body is going to claw back. It's going to take itself back. It only has so much to give you before it will take it back. And so you need to respect that. When you feel pain, what do you normally do? I said, well, come on, Doc. I mean, I'm not a pussy. And he said, exactly. He said, well, unless you want to be in a wheelchair, right, unless you want to have your knees replaced, listen to the pain your body tells you and accommodate the pain. And it's, you know, it's been great advice. The other thing, though, is eating. I mean, Alex, every place that you go, there's great food. Not good food. There's great food. And there's a ton of it when they put it out.
And we're biologically driven to eat the most calorically dense, delicious, rewarding food that we can find.
I just
because it's a survival instinct.
Oh, well, let me tell you.
Marketers know this.
It's nothing about survival for me. I just like to eat things that taste good. And,
well, you like to eat things that taste good because your brain's hardwired to tell you that.
Oh, my God. And so,
you know, but I mean, I'm in the same boat, man.
The thing that you have to learn, you know, if you do want your chest to stick out at all when you're 60, is you have to learn to do those things in moderation and exercise. And exercise has to be a lifelong endeavor. And if you do that.
You know, that's exactly it. There's no finish line. to the fitness game.
Yeah, well, there
it's
is.
A long con, man.
There is. It's when they slam the casket lid on you, man. That's the finish line.
You got it.
And then what you want them to say is, yo, he looks rocked up in his casket there. Good job. Good
dude,
job.
Good.
Good job, dude.
Dude looks good in there.
Good job, dude. Yeah, that means you won. But I go back to your very, very simple comment about math. Okay? It is math. It is you have to use more and you have to intake less. If you do that on a consistent basis, and if you tax your muscles will grow to accommodate that. And especially for men, you have this incredible chemical in your body called testosterone that even at the age of 60, it's still in there. And if you go to the gym and you start lifting weights, guess what? Your muscles grow. It's incredible. But there
the secret to that, I would argue, is that you've just got to remember not to tie your expectations to your workouts. You know, when you go to the gym and you've been going for 3 weeks now because you've been getting back at it, 3 weeks in, you're starting to notice changes. You know, you notice changes early on when you've been out of the game for a while and you come back. But 6 months in, you stop noticing changes.
Right.
You know, because you look in the mirror every day as you walk by in passing. You know, you look at your stomach every day as you buckle your seatbelt. The changes are so gradual that you don't notice them anymore. And we tend to get demotivated by that because they're like, well, I'm not losing this gut. That's what I signed up for, you know. You've got to try to find a way to exercise that is fulfilling to you in a way other than just trying to shrink the spare tire. You know, because if you tie your workouts to an expectation of results, you're going to get frustrated. But if instead you go out for a walk because it's good for your mental health, you know, down the road a little bit, you're going to find that spare tire is shrinking. You know, I like to lift weights. I don't lift weights because the most important thing to me in the world is how much I can bench press. I lift weights because it's cathartic for me. It's my outlet. It's a release. You know, some people it's running, some people it's swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Find that thing for you. It's not going to, motivation is fleeting. You know, my most recent column last week is about how motivation is the high school ex-girlfriend of the fitness game. In that you make a lot of promises when you're motivated. You know, like my New Year's resolution is I'm going to do this, and you're going to do it as far as you're concerned. Just like when you were 17, and you were talking to your first real serious girlfriend, and you were like, we're going to be together forever. I love you always. And then you get up the next morning, and you feel like shit, and you said you were going to go running. You know? Just like you graduate from high school, and you're on your way to college, and you said you guys were going to make it work long distance. You know? But after a little while, the promises stop making so much sense. The motivation is gone. The passion is gone. That's where discipline's got to step in. You know, discipline gets a bad rap. Discipline sounds like a bad word. It sounds like no harm. Discipline can be great. Discipline's the reason why my marriage still works, because it's not passionate love that reminds me to look for my wife's favorite ice cream when I'm at Walmart. It's that disciplined reminder, there's someone at home that's more important to me than me. You know, I'm not staring at her longingly like I did on my wedding day. I'm at Walmart trying to navigate around a big group of, you know, people who are oblivious to the world around them just so I can try to get some ice cream for it. Discipline's a good thing. It's a positive thing. Don't treat it like a dirty word. Respect your motivation. Use it when it's there. But don't count on motivation to get you anywhere, because motivation, it runs for the hills the minute hardship surfaces. You know? Discipline is where it's at. And I would argue that's why at 60 years old you're still kicking ass, is because consistency has done it. It's like in The Rock and Kevin Hart when he's like, how'd you lose all, in the movie Central Intelligence. It's like, how'd you lose all that weight and you got so big? And he's like, it was simple, man. I just worked out 6 hours a day, every day for 18 years. Top result. You know? Discipline is what'll get you there. You know? It's a long con.
Here's another email. Mac, I'm curious, since he's got into writing about fitness, what is the single most significant thing he's learned about it? It's a pretty huge subject, an incredible amount written on a daily basis. But Alex is a guy, a Marine, and he's been an athlete, and he's dealt with injuries. I'm curious about the one thing that he thinks is most significant that he's learned. It's a single question there.
That's a tough one.
I think, and you know, Lord knows if you gave me long enough to think about it, I might change my mind. But I think the single, like if I was going to try to impart something upon someone, it would be, just because it works for me doesn't mean it'll work for you. Just because it works for you doesn't mean it'll work for the next guy. You should research, you should educate yourself, you should learn as much as you can. But you also should trust your body and the responses that you get from it. That doesn't mean when the going gets tough, give up. There's a difference between hurt and injured. You know, but it does mean if your body tells you that doing hack squats makes your knees hurt real bad, maybe don't do hack squats. You know, if your body tells you that you feel great after you go for a run, maybe go for a run. You know, trust yourself to guide you. Research, educate, learn, absolutely. But don't take someone else's word for it over the stimuli you're receiving from your own body. I think it's really important because, especially like you're talking about, with as you work out, as you get older, it's easier and easier to hurt yourself in really non-exciting ways. It's easier and easier to like end up walking into work on Tuesday with a limp just because you stepped wrong off the treadmill or just because you were going up the stairs and you tripped. You know, you heal slower. It takes longer for you to feel back, like feel 100% again. So trust your body. When your body says, this isn't something we're supposed to be doing, chances are it's something you're not supposed to be doing. You know, I don't care how many people on bodybuilding.com said it's the best thing in the world for you.
Yeah.
If it doesn't treat you right, it's not for you.
You know, experiment,
find other things.
And there's a difference between what bodybuilders can do and what's applicable to them and then what's applicable to the rest of us. And so, but ultimately it is finding out what works for you. As you get older, I can tell you that, you know, machines are easier, right? Because there's a certain amount of muscular strength, and sometimes strain that goes with stabilizing free weights. So there's certain lifts that, you know, you quickly say, you know what, I'd be better off doing something a little bit more stable, focus on strength, and not worry so much about worry about stabilization. And so, you know, you have to make these little trade-offs as you go through life so that you can be active, be fit. And again, if you're like me, I had, you know, Mike's wife and I, we had a baby. I was 45. Colleen will graduate from high school, and I'll be 63. I'm not going there with, you know, the horn in my ear yelling, hey, where is she? That one? Oh, look at her.
That was my dad. Looked like my grandfather.
Yeah, that's a short dress. When did that start? You know, I don't want to be that guy, right? So what do you have to do? I have this thing in my head that I built years ago. You know how you go through this negotiation? Well, I've got to run to the store, and so I'll slide my workout to this, and then I'll do this, and then I've got to make this phone call, and then I'll do this. And then something else comes up, and I'm like, okay, the workout slides are here, and I have this thing in my head, just do the workout. Don't think about it. Just put your stuff on and go do the workout.
As soon as, if you can get yourself to start, you'll finish it.
Right.
You know, but I have that argument with myself. I have it with my wife, you know, 3 times a week. I work out 6 days a week in one way or another. And at least 3 times a week, I get up and I go, I'm not working out today. No way. This is not going to happen. And then at some point, I'm like, you know, it helps that my gym is in my basement. But I'm like, all right, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to dilly-dally a bit and I'll do a lift or two just because, you know, at least I did something. One lift in, I'm in. Game on. I just got to get myself to go do that one lift. You know, give yourself the opportunity to surprise yourself in what you're able to do. But about the machines thing, that's a great point, because if you're 100% healthy, that's why I argue against machines, you know, because it's important to work those stabilizing muscle groups.
Right.
But let's say you've got a rough shoulder. You know, a good example for me is, you know, I've had 3 knee surgeries, 2 ankle surgeries, and a hernia surgery all on my way out the door from the Marine Corps back
nice.
In 2012.
Well done.
It's tough to do squats and deadlifts for me, you know. So what do, man? I use the squat machine. I use the leg press, you know. But let's say you've got a bum shoulder. Don't do overhead shoulder press because you're shortening the lifespan of your shoulder.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, that's exactly what happened to me. I started having rotator cuff issues and shoulder issues. And it was kind of weird because the pain, the problem I was having is like right in the middle of the back of your shoulder, but the pain's referred up to the area of your rotator cuff. So you think it's the top of your shoulder, but that's not really it. It's inside your shoulder. And I had a therapist take her thumb and she jammed it in the middle of the back of my shoulder and said, tell me, you're not really going to have to, but tell me when this hurts. And she hit something and I went, ah! She's like, pussy. And I was like, no, man, that's what did you hit? She said, the pain isn't in your upper shoulder. It's back here, and the pain signal is being referred to there in your shoulder. You've got an imbalanced shoulder. You need to stop lifting and then give it some time to heal itself. And then if you start lifting and it comes back again, then you're either going to have it surgically repaired. If you don't, you're going to have to find different ways to lift. That's when I went to machine. So almost exactly what you said. So very, very, very prophetic. Well done.
You know, it all goes back to that, you know, trust yourself, man. You know, I mean, because even if I hadn't gone to that physical therapist, you would have gone, you know what? I'm not taking those goddamn dumbbells and picking them up over my head anymore because right. I'm going to drop one, you know?
Right, like, or throw it.
You know, or throw it, yeah. It really is trust yourself above all others, you know, when it comes to weight loss, when it comes to fitness, when it comes to religion and politics, man. Extremism doesn't work in anything.
Whoa! You know? Way to transition a little fitness into lifestyle stuff. All right, tell everybody, Alex, I'll let you go. Thanks for the time. Tell everybody where they find your work.
You can find me, obviously, on softrep.com. If you want to find just my work on there, it'll be softrep.com/author/Alex Hollings. It is a subscription page. It's what keeps us from kind of falling into that clickbait dynamic of having to try to sell people on clicking on stuff on Facebook. So I just want full disclosure there. We encourage you to read, but, you know, it's like 13 cents a day, and I really encourage you to subscribe. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/AlexHollingsWriter. You can find me on Twitter at AlexHollings52, and you can find me on Instagram at Archetype52.
There you have it. All right, bud. First of all, congratulations to you and your wife on the birth of your baby. One of the great moments in anybody's life. And tell your wife she gets a Navy com with a V for 44 hours of labor. That's rough. And
oh yeah, man. Thanks a lot. You know, and I love coming on here. So thanks for having me.
No, always a pleasure. Thanks, bud. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, there you have it. That is Alex Hollings from SoftRep. Alex, he's a natural on the radio. Some people have to, you know, you have to pull stuff out of him. Not him, man. He's a machine. All you got to do is ask. You ask and get out of his way, and he gives it to you. So, and again, a host slash moderator's dream. People that come on with opinions and want to steal the program. They don't want to steal it, but they have something to say, so they say it. All right, we'll take a break. More of Allman Radio coming up next, right here on a Monday. Don't touch that dial. The Gunner, next. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.